We're in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's review quickly a part of verse 19. Well, let's read it first. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Peter and the 12 apostles, or including the 12, also the other New Testament prophets and later apostles, like Paul, they had the prophetic call and ministry, not only to preach, but to teach and to evangelize. They were to lay the New Testament foundation of Scripture and church, what we call church order or church principles that are to guide the body of Christ when they gather together. Anything that comes later, or any sermons or homiletics or anything else, they are to build on what has been laid. There are no new apostles or prophets that are going to bring forth new doctrines. They have to build up, not out. Anything that does not or cannot be tested by the apostolic scripture and the teachings of Christ are to be rejected as heresy or false doctrine. So he's telling us that this message that they brought, the sure word of prophecy, is a lamp or a light. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. They individually were candles as Christ's Spirit indwelled them. The gospel message through his disciples is to go on until the day dawns, until the coming of the Lord, until also those who are regenerated, that they, knowing that they are the temple of God, are to be the witness to the world. They are to represent Christ to the world. He is not the direct light to the world. People forget this. He uses the Word of God and the body of Christ. It's both. The Word and the Spirit must agree. They must agree in harmony, and they must not be in conflicting with one another. Therefore, if the Word of God is rightly handled and taught properly at the various states it was given, it is in complete harmony. There are no conflicts. There are no true contradictions. Often because people do not know Scripture, or the worldly mind, as Paul said, the natural man perceives not the things of God. They're foolishness to him. Intellectuals cannot understand spiritual things. They can see and read various things, but they do not get spiritual illumination. Therefore, when people are born again, or the Spirit moves on them, that is something done by revelation. It is something that the world cannot perceive or understand because the Spirit of God does not move on them, does not indwell them. Therefore, true Christianity is a revelation. Therefore, we have much false Christianity and much false evangelizing that is trying just to convince people mentally of various scriptures. But that does not impart life. That does not impart the Holy Spirit. And when the Word of God is taught and it is not borne witness to by the Holy Spirit, then it is, as Paul said, it's the letter of the law. It killeth. It has no power to give life. The law of Moses is perfect, and God uses it, even the Holy Spirit, to convince of sin, to show a person the state they're in spiritually. But it has no power to give life. It simply states facts, states the truth, but it cannot redeem. And therefore, Christ came and had to bring in the new covenant, and the law was a teacher, but not a teacher that could give spiritual life. So he states here that Peter said, you should do well to heed our witness, our testimony, because it's a sure prophetic word that Jesus was and is the truth, the way, and the life, and he is the one who gives spiritual life, eternal life. The very Godhead making their abode in the true Christian. Verse 20. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Notice he does not use the word prophecy as all-inclusive. There are various prophecies that are true, and there are those that are false, but he's speaking that what is given as Scripture has a clear understand. It is not to be interpreted many different ways. It may be a mystery. It may be hidden. There may be various levels of a prophecy. And even in some cases, the prophecy can have further revelation later and explain things as events in the world change. But he's basically saying whatever is written, the prophecy of Scripture, is not for the individual to decide what it means. That God has an intention, that it means one truth, and that is what is to be revealed when the Word of God is rightly handled. So know this, a phrase that the Apostle Paul used a few times. No prophecy of Scripture in the Word of God is of any private interpretation. Prophecy and Scripture have a truth to reveal, and it's not of one's personal opinion, likes or dislike. Paul made it plain, and people real, even many Christians, ignorant Christians, still stumble at what he's saying. So when he makes it plain, we'll see the Apostle Paul gives an example, that when the church gathered together, many of the, what we would call small or home churches, he did not permit women to act as prophets in the gatherings. And after he gives the rules for the exercising of the gift of prophecy, he basically said two or three can speak, that it take turns and share what revelation the Lord has given them, and the other prophets that are gifted are to judge, discern, is this from the Lord? Are we in agreement with it? Or is there a false spirit trying to manifest itself? But then he immediately says, for the women were to keep silent in these gatherings, the large gatherings. And he quotes the law, and many women who want to be pastors and shepherds, I believe they're in error. God does not permit Christian women to rule over men. It's changed today. Many of them try to come up with all these excuses that that was the custom in the church of the Roman world. But Paul makes it plain when he quotes the law. And then to make it very plain, he said, I would have you to know that if you consider yourself spiritual, he was talking to the whole congregation and those he's writing to. He said, if you think you're spiritually mature, then you must acknowledge that. He does not give it as an opinion, that these commandments are from the Lord Jesus. He immediately connects that what I've told you about women keeping quiet and not governing, that this is a commandment of the Lord Jesus. He makes no bones about it. So that should end, but obviously it doesn't. I think many women who would act as co-pastors or pastors, they're simply in error. It may not cost them their soul, but it will cost them their rewards and influence if they make it to heaven. God makes it plain he does not recognize it. And Paul himself said, and those who do not recognize what I'm telling you are not to be recognized. So he made it very plain there's certain subjects, it's the scripture very plain on. Yet because of our independence and equality and all of that, we think we can override scripture. God has not changed his view on certain matters. There is no scripture in the Old Testament. There is one or two, but if you understand the teaching of the Old and New, there were no women who held prophetic office. There were women who prophesied at times, but they did not rule. They did not administer that gift and the authority as the male prophet did, because God did not want that to happen. Many people like to quote Deborah, so she was, they called her judge. But it's interesting that Deborah, they knew she spoke and gave counsel by the word of the Lord, but when the king wanted to go into battle, he wanted Deborah to go with him, and she did not. See, she did not feel it was her place as a woman to get involved in physical warfare, but they wanted her with them because they were superstitious, and they thought they would be protected more. So she made a statement. She gave in to them and said, I will go with you, but a woman shall get the glory for the battle. See, she was insulting them. She was telling them this is not the way it should be. Even the prophet speaking, it was either Isaiah or Ezekiel, could have been Jeremiah, he said, it's a shame when children are your oppressors and women rule over you. What does it mean, children? It means when teenagers and older kids, and you see it often, they rule their parents by manipulation. Parents pamper them, spoil them, and give in to them. So they become oppressors. And God was saying, it's a shame when children are your oppressors and women rule over you. He has not changed his mind or his view. That is not to say that women cannot comprehend, or they can be as spiritual as their husbands. Some can be as spiritual as the leaders of the church. They may know and understand the scripture, but that does not give them the authority that God gives and doesn't want given. He does not want women taking on an aggressive role to rule and govern men. It was not permitted under the law. And obviously, the apostolic church did not agree with it either, okay? And even the world at that time, the Greek world, the Roman world, and the church, and Judaism, none of these societies accepted women publicly ruling over men. And verse 21, a continuance of 20, no prophecy was ever made by an act of the human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Now let's clarify this. He's talking about a revelation given. All pastors, teachers, and evangelists, they all do the work of prophecy at times. They do not stand in the office of a prophet, but they give forth the word of God. What is prophecy? At its basic simplicity, it simply means to speak under inspiration, to speak for someone else. So all mature Christians are capable of doing this. And this, to a great degree, is what Paul meant when he said that he wished that everyone had the gift of prophecy. But he understood, and he made it plain, that all were not called to be prophets. See, they stood in a position of governing and rebuking and correcting as the apostolic ministry did. They were put in a position to call down God's judgment on individuals for not repenting of their gross sin. This was not something that every ordinary Christian did at the drop of the hat. This was for the elders and the mature of the fellowship to decide these things, pray over it, and then make a decision. They were given authority to do various things, and they did not have to get a clear word of the Lord. They'd already been given the principles. As Paul had told Timothy, let no one despise your youth. Rebuke with all authority. It's believed that Timothy may have been in his late 20s at this time, or early 30s, and a lot of the older Jews and Christians, they did not believe a man was fully mature until he was 30. And so he had to speak and act more reverential toward older leadership. But Paul overrode that because Timothy was acting basically as an apostle. He was running the whole church area as a chief overseer. And so Paul tells him, because of the authority, he said, let no one despise your youth. How is he going to do this? He was basically implying that he had apostolic authority, and if someone attempts to do this, if someone misguided or even older, you reprove him. You have the authority actually to remove him from the fellowship. You do not have to heed him. And so this is what authority gives. So there was authority that prophets and apostles had that went further than the normal eldership of gatherings, the normal what we call pastors and teachers and ruling elders. And therefore they were given this gift. But when they did these harsher, stronger things, they usually were guided by the Spirit directly, or they understood the principles of God's Word, and they were to move about with the wisdom and the renewed mind that God gave them and simply act on these things. They did not have to stand and get a direct word. We forget we're not robots. The Holy Spirit does not dictate to us 24 hours a day. He gives us principles. He expects people to act by principle. And then when they need individual guidance that is questionable or is confusing to other people, then he's to seek forth the wisdom of God for these matters. So he wants us to know that the true prophet, the true person exercising the gift of prophecy, and again, I'll make a distinction. All Spirit-filled Christians at times can prophesy. They can be inspired by the Lord when they evangelize, when they teach, when they're giving a message or preaching or bring, if the Spirit's moving them, they are technically prophesying. When the Spirit comes on them or guides them, they are moving in the gift of prophecy. But that does not mean they have the gift or the office of a prophet. Therefore, people need to make the distinction. Even women could prophesy, but women could not rule as a prophet could. The New Testament prophet was capable, as the apostle, to move around to various localities and check out how the churches were progressing, to keep an eye on heresy, to keep an eye on false shepherds coming in and trying to deceive them. And they were given the authority by God, and he backed them, that they could even remove pastors. They could even remove local leadership if they had gone into heresy or something that the Scripture refutes. We're talking about big things. We're not talking about methodology. So they had the power to do this. That's why Paul warned the Corinthians. He said, shall I come to you in gentleness or shall I come to you with sharpness? Shall I use my apostolic authority to reprove you? And he had turned some over to Satan for being in gross sin and not repenting. But he gave them a choice. If you get yourself right, then when I come, I'll not have to deal with these things. But if I come, I will use sharpness. It means you will understand my apostolic authority is not just something that's whimsical. So prophecy is not something for the Christian that he invents. It is not an invention. Therefore, with all word ministries that proceed from the fivefold ministry, anyone with those ministries, apostolic, prophet, prophetic, evangelical, pastors, teachers, they can teach at will anytime. They study, they prepare lessons. They cannot prophesy at will. But see, the Word of God is to be taught. People are to understand it intellectually. They are to remember portions of Scripture that when the Holy Spirit needs to, he brings this to their remembrance. They have something to build on. So there is the place to study the Word of God systematically, to study it verse by verse, to find out what it's saying, and to remember these things. But that in itself is not prophecy. Therefore, many people give out tracts and Bibles and think that that's going to convert people. It's a rare thing. People are not converted by reading Scripture, basically. They're not converted by reading tracts. People are converted when the Holy Spirit acts on the Word of God through the messenger. That is the means of how people are normally regenerated, brought to the Lord. Paul tells us that people are called and gifted and they are set forth And this is the normal way that God brings people. That is the ultimate work of the evangelist. He's usually the evangelist is more of a traveling minister. Teachers and pastoral offices and elders is local. These people basically stay in a various locality with the various body of Christ that is local. Most of the body of Christ is local, always has been. Some people spend their whole life in a various area, a various fellowship, but the evangelist, the apostolic office, made them mobile at times because they were pioneers. They established ministries and churches and matured people, then they could go on their way. The office of the prophet could be either. They could go along as the apostle did, or they could be more local or to a local area to watch, to guard, to make sure heresy and false doctrine is not seeping in to the fellowship. So even though prophecy basically is not a human invention, true prophecy is the Holy Spirit moving on an individual and giving him the mind and willing of God at that time. He speaks for God. He speaks God's mind, God's instruction. He has to teach. The prophet of the Old Testament was basically a teacher to the Jews, to correct them in their errors, to instruct them when they were slacking in their duties to God. They had the ability to correct the priest when they got out of line and so forth. That was their ministry. So we say prophecy is not a human invention. It's as the Holy Spirit moves on an individual's mind and spirit and imparts something to them. It's never created by the human will or mind, yet the human will and mind must yield to and consent to speak forth whatever the revelation is. This is why Paul said spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. It means the spirit that speaks in them does not overwhelm them, does not command them by the throat to speak something. They're given the ability to speak or not speak at a various time. They're given the ability to choose the timing and the place. Often the Old Testament prophets, because they were given what we call more revelation as far as future events, they often, it took them a long time to get to the source, and they would go to various places and share the same message. Jeremiah did this. Ezekiel did this because they had small towns and they did not have the great communication systems we have today. Even Jesus, everything that Jesus spoke, we can read in 30 or 40 minutes. So much of what he spoke, he repeated constantly to various towns and people. He didn't come up with new things every day. He gave the basic word of God, and he had to repeat it often as he went to various little cities and towns and gatherings. But prophecy is given to the human will and mind by the Holy Spirit moving in them. Often we use the word on them. This was the general term used in the Old Testament. It said the hand of the Lord, or the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. It was basically an outside event. He temporarily gave them spiritual insight and empowered them to do certain things, and then he departed. Where for the new Christian, the Spirit can come upon him, but he basically proceeds from within him. All true believers have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. They are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So in a technical sense, all gifts of the Spirit move within the believer, because that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. That's where he abides. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's look at verse 29. We've quoted some of it to 31. Let two or three prophets speak, let the others judge. If anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. He was given an order that he understood that during the gathering of the saints, the Spirit would move. And they had to be attuned to each other. The Holy Spirit did not override people. He did not interrupt people through someone else. Everything was to be in order. But notice the control again. The Spirit of prophets are subject to them. So while they were getting a revelation, whether it was an inspiration to speak forth the word, or whether it was a vision or a direct message, if someone was already speaking, he did not interrupt him, but he made it known. He either stood up, or there was a way he motioned to let them know, the one that was speaking, that he had something. And then the first one was to finish his message, or finish his teaching very quickly and allow this one to do it. But Paul said, limit this to two or three in the congregation. See, that meant that when the Holy Spirit was moving at times, more than two or three people were getting inspiration. But it wasn't necessary that every one of them speak. It's implied that God could relay whatever message he needed through two or three speakers. And so it shows you, though, that the corporate body of Christ, the same Holy Spirit was moving through them. And some were ready and some were not. But it's implied that this gathering of the large meetings, when many of the home groups came together, that these prophets were known to have the office. It wasn't like every individual got up and decided, I'm going to prophesy. That they had the reputation and they had exercised the ministry that the church had understood that they have this gift. So they gave way to them. But again, they let the other prophets with that ministry judge it. They were not gullible. They understood that anyone, even Christians, are subject to be deceived by a spirit at times if they do not guard their mind, that they can be deceived. An evil spirit can mimic the things of God and try to imitate them to get its own influence in. And so this was why the others were to be on guard about this. And in verse 31, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. Many charismatics have taken this. They basically, and I've heard them teach it, that everybody in the congregation get up and share something. Well, if they read the verses before, they'll find out it was limited to two or three. So when he was saying, you may all prophesy one by one, he's speaking to the two and three that it's going to be limited to, and those usually with the prophetic office. But what was the purpose? That you all may learn. Prophecy is to teach. It is to expound on God's will and mind and the word of God. Most of the prophecy that Paul's talking about was not revelation as far as future events. There were times this came as a warning. This is a time when individuals were given warning. But the normal gift of prophecy, the best we can say is, it was anointed preaching and teaching. When we say anointed, we mean the Spirit was moving at that time. And as I've said, all apostles, prophets, and pastors, they can teach anytime they want to. They've got a congregation, if they've got a gathering, but it does not mean that prophecy is on them at that moment. They can still use their knowledge of God's word. Teaching instructs. Teaching imparts information of the word. Prophecy imparts the life of God moving through the word. So this is why the Apostle Paul said he valued prophecy rather than all gifts. Because to speak under inspiration, the word of God, is to impart spiritual life. Supernatural gifts do not impart spiritual life. They're temporal. They do not pass into the next realm. But the word of God does. So that's why the fivefold ministries actually take precedent over all other ministries. The value that God puts on the word of God that is inspired by his Spirit. And verse 32, and the spirits of prophets are subject to the prophets. When you have people moving in certain spiritual things that are not godly, fortune telling, seances, clairvoyance, soothsaying, even dreams and visions can be false. That does not necessarily mean they're from God. The methods that God uses with the gifts of the Spirit the devil can use and imitate. And Paul said, are you so amazed? For Satan himself translates himself into an angel of truth. He says, so why are you so amazed? He doesn't come up and say, I'm a liar and I have evil spirits speaking. He wants you to believe it's from God. That's how he deceives people. And people who do not know the truth and people who have fallen into sin and rebellion, they become blinded to the truth and they can be easily led astray. So those who are inspired to speak by and for God are to be in control of their will and mind. People who are under seances, soothsaying, and voodoo, they do not have control. If you read or you seen a manifestation of the evil spirit, most of the time the people are not aware of what they're saying. And often when they speak and they come to their own mind, they have to ask people what was said. Because, see, they are under the control of an evil spirit. God does not control a Christian that way. He leads them. He does not drag them by their neck. He does not grab their mouth and force them. Anyone with the prophetic gift can look to timing and can be given spiritual revelation, and he has to go sometimes and pray about it to find out when he's to share this with the person or someone. So it could be days later that he delivers the word. And see, that's why he uses his mind. That's why he evaluates. The Apostle John said, test the spirits and see whether they're of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world, and he did not want them deceived. So the Christian always acts by his will and mind. The Holy Spirit works with him. That's why he's called the Comforter, the one who comes alongside. He reasons. That's why the Lord said, let us reason together. So it's a fallacy to think that the Spirit moves on a Christian and all of a sudden he's forced to say words. That is the demonic spirit moving. The Holy Spirit, again, was likened to a dove. Gentle, not forceful. He persuades people. The word is often, when we think of God persuading, it is as you're talking to a child, trying to convince them of something and showing them how to do something that they can yield to it and not feel threatened or nervous. So that's more the attitude of when the Holy Spirit is moving. But those who are gifted, those who have the gift or the ministry of a prophet or apostle, God can deal more directly with them. And because of the gift and their experience, they can discern a lot quicker what's going on and how to handle this, and they can discern the Spirit, Holy Spirit speaking to them, and they're able to catch the counterfeit very quickly. And that's why the gift of discerning of spirits, it meant to distinguish what spirit is motivating a person. This was always the gift of the apostle and prophet. Not only did they have the prophetic office, they had this gift. And often it was necessary that pastors and overseers should exercise this, that they can discern when there's a false spirit moving. And he always attempts to move through a novice or a babe or a truly false person. So this is why God does this. We do not see this as prevalent today as in the early church because of the times we're in and the wickedness of the generation. But in the early church, it happened, and people were more afraid, especially Christians or professing Christians, to come into a gathering and harbor great evil, because there were times the Holy Spirit would have them revealed and exposed to others. Let's take a break here.